We're going to have a reading from God's Word, and I'd love it if one of you'd like to read. I haven't planned a reader for tonight, so have a think if you want to read, and you can have a look at it first as well. Hebrews 13, so if you have a Bible, please turn to Hebrews 13. And there's some themes in here that come up in Pilgrim's Progress, which is why we're hitting this passage.
Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking forward for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray, so that I may be restored to you soon.
Thank you very much, Jane. So you can leave that open, although not going to expound the passage this evening, but in the passage, as we'll see, remember your leaders, do not be carried away by strange teachings. We are looking for a city that is to come, so keep these things in mind. Confidence in your leaders, submit, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Let me put the map up, and you can look and think where we're up to. If my last one before the summer break is to preach the Delectable Mountains, oh, I've just told you where we're going to be, then that is not a bad thing. It doesn't get much better than that, does it? So yes, we are here this evening. I'll let you look at that from in tonight's episode of Pilgrim's Progress. Christian and hopeful recover. Some blind men stumble around in a graveyard. And we see four hills, one with a very scary door in it. Let's pray first before we start. Father, we pray for resolve in our lives to press on in Christ Jesus. Lord, we want to be believers who are believing you in every sense, who are being useful for you in our lives, who are being careful and discerning, yet full of joy and humble. Lord, please keep shaping us into the likeness of your Son. Fill us with hope. Keep our eyes lifted to that day when you return through the clouds and we are with you. And in the meantime, Lord, let us press on. Let us count the cost onward to glory for the glory of your name. Amen. So we return to this extremely helpful picture of the Christian life with its realism and biblical instruction. And last time we saw that Christian and hopeful, having left the path, came to a great trial. They fell asleep when they should have been awake and were captured by giant despair. He drove them to his castle where he and his terrible wife ill-treated them. Bunyan writes, from Wednesday to Saturday. Interesting. Bunyan, of course, as we thought about last time, makes giant despair very big compared to Christian and Hopeful, because despair is a giant. Doubt, depression, these are overwhelming things, all-consuming. And this is Bunyan's picture of despair. Locked up they were, locked in, dark, no refreshment, no light, and seemingly, especially in Christian, no hope. Bunyan writes from experience himself, imprisoned for many years, and often struggling in his mind with different aspects. But for those in Christ Jesus, there is hope in the dark. Indeed, think about it, the greatest hope came from the darkest day, didn't it? As we were thinking last time, the great kind of paradox of suffering is that actually it's precisely in the dark when we do see, when we really see what Christ did, who went through the deepest darkness for us, and why we follow him. When Job-like, everything's stripped away, things are revealed in the dark. Oxymoron, but true. And so that's where we finished up. And then, not quite finished up, sorry. It was at midnight on the Saturday, wasn't it? Again, telling moment. Christian and Hopeful began to pray. And then Christian burst out. What am I doing? Lying in this dark dungeon when I could be free. I have the key in my chest pocket. It's by the heart. A key called the promises of God. And using this key, they escaped from giant despair. And they were overjoyed in running back and finding the stile, overjoyed in the rough path which they had left. And they made a monument there by that stile, warning other travellers not to go into Bypass Meadow, but urging them to stay on the narrow way. So there they are, continuing. There's their sign, and there they are, continuing on their way. And now our friends have a welcome reprieve from their ordeal, as continuing now on the right road, they came to the Delectable Mountains. A couple of questions for us to think about. First of all, what does delectable mean? That was a response of one child. Ooh, delectable? Good question. And when have we seen the Delectable Mountains before? It's a very harder question. Probably for the adults, and I'm often surprised. Okay, delectable. Shoot, someone have a go. Yeah, did you say delightful? That's a good start, isn't it? Sweet. Very nice. Delicious. Oh, a bit stronger. Yeah. Mouth-watering, that sort of thing. Nice, that's good. Okay, second question. When did we see the Delectable Mountains before? This would be Pilgrim's Progress experts, or really good listener. No, sorry. Not saying you're not a good listener, but hard to remember. Sorry. It's quite interesting why Bunyan does this. We'll come to that in a moment. But actually, it was back in Palace Beautiful, which, of course, represents the church. At the end of Christian's time here, he was taken up onto the roof and shown in the distance the wonderful mountains. Of course, what Bunyan is helpfully sort of saying, in the Christian life, we get these glimpses ahead, don't we, which give hope to us on our journey. So knowing there's green pastures and still waters at different times, that they're en route, brings encouragement. And refreshment to the soul, keep us going. So that's true, isn't it? Difficult times, some of you may be in a really difficult time now. Well, look into the Word, look at the promises. Our Shepherd leads us, yes, through valleys, but also the green pastures and still waters as well. So that's kind of what happened in Palace Beautiful. Well, after an extremely difficult trial, they come into these mountains, and here those wonderful words just given, I think, are really helpful. Bunyan writes, "These mountains, delectable mountains, were full of gardens, orchards, vineyards, fountains." And there, you will slow down over this moment, Christian refreshment. I hope you know this kind of feeling. They were able to drink. They were able to wash. That's a loaded picture. They were free to eat as much fruit as they wanted. Such a wonderful picture of spiritual refreshment. And Bunyan writes that there were shepherds watching their flocks on the higher slopes and feeding them on the mountains. And there's chimes going in your head. Is it Christmas time? What does this place represent? Anyone would like to have a go? Yes. Nice try. I like it. Yeah, it feels like it, doesn't it? It's certainly a bit like Eden restored. So thank you. Good start. It's not quite, but you're not far off. Anyone else that's ever go? I think I just heard it a second ago. What do we think? Shepherds feeding the sheep. Delightful place. Strengthening, refreshment, washing away. Church, yeah, it represents a church. It's Billy Bunyan. As always, he loads his story. This is why Pilgrim's Progress is worth reading and reading again and again. Because the more you read, a bit like the Word, it's not the Bible, of course, but there's more richness he brings from the Word. And another clue that this place represents the church is they were in Doubting Castle from Wednesday to Saturday night. They broke out on Sunday. Sunday, of course, being the Lord's Day. They came to the Delectable Mountains on that same day. So it's the Lord's Day in view here. We find that shepherds feeding the flock, it's church. It's a picture of pastors teaching the people from the Word of God. And so here they are again. They come to church again, a bit like Palace Beautiful, for refreshment, for feeding. And Bunyan is reminding us the Lord's Day is to be enjoyed. It is not rules, it is not drudgery, but it is a joy. It's been described by some, Sundays have been, as the market day for the soul, where we go and gather up the blessings of the Lord's people. Prayers, sung praise, the Word, a wonderful market without cost. I hope that's what you feel about church. I hope that's growing on you, the value of what God has given us in his day, the Lord's Day. Of course, Bunyan was a man who knew about the glory of the church. Even more so, sharply so was it in him, did he value true fellowship of believers, having himself been cast out of every pulpit, really, to preach in secret in the woods. So they come to the Delectable Mountains, and let's put this picture up. They come to shepherds who are standing by the side of this road, leaning on their sticks. For those who are not used to these Pilgrim's Progress, just to say, I've got two sources of pictures. This is really for my parents, to be honest. And where one source of pictures doesn't have a picture I like or suitable, I put in this, said the pictures will change a bit. I hope you can cope with that. And then they ask these shepherds, whose land is this? Whose sheep are these? This is Emmanuel's land, they say. It is within sight of his city, and the sheep are those for whom he laid down his life. Is this the way to the city, they ask? Yes, you are on the right path. How far is it? And then a bit of a strange answer. It is too far for anyone except those who are bound to get there. It is too far for anyone except for those who are bound to get there, which of course could mean, well, heaven of course is out of reach for those who are not one of the sheep. Or, and as we're going to see, there's still need for perseverance. even this far along the narrow way, this close to the city, there is a great need to press on. We're certainly going to see that. Because one of the things the shepherds are going to teach them on this Sunday in the Delectable Mountains is to keep going. And now they have come, this is interesting and helpful, they have come so far. They have come through many things already. You see that on the map at the beginning, if you know the story. And they are close to the celestial city. But what is also close, always at hand for the believer, are the enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We have an enemy who does not sleep. And he will always, whatever age or stage, spiritual maturity, they're always a means we're in a fight. Always to be watchful, always persevering. So they can see the heavenly city, but still from here, the shepherds say, it's too far for any unless they are bound, unless they are elect, the elect, and by grace persevere. Even this late stage, professing Christians, underline the word professing, can come this far and yet not make it to the end. This is what we're about to hear. So they say, another question to the shepherds, is the path safe or is it dangerous? And again, another answer that's a bit meaty. It is safe for those whom it's meant to be safe, but the rebellious stumble in them. And it's a direct quote from Hosea 14 verse 9. Meaning, for the children of God who walk in God's ways, stay on the narrow way, get in the middle of it, actually don't get near the edge even, but stay on the narrow way, it is safe. But as we'll see, the disobedient, the wanderers, stumble and fall. They ask again, can we rest in this place? And the shepherds say, yes, the hospitality of our land is open to you. So they ask questions of the shepherds. The shepherds then ask questions of them. And here comes the picture of the shepherds, elders, gatekeepers of the church. And as kind of far as possible, examining the profession of the professor to see if their faith is credible. Is the membership interview, if you like. For God has appointed under-shepherds to guard the front door of the church. We watch the back door. We feel it when someone moves on, don't we? Particularly if the reasons are painful. But there is also great value in watching the front door of the church. We heard this morning in Romans again about the false, didn't we? Be very careful to not let the wolf in amongst the sheep. That sort of thing. And so here they come, the shepherds, asking questions to, as best as they can, discern that the visible church is indeed the invisible church, if you can get your head around that. That those who say they are saved are truly saved. So it's members' interview time. The shepherds ask them a lot of questions. Where were you from? How did you get here? How have you managed to keep going? And they're listening. Listening for sorrow and sin. They're listening for love of Christ. They're listening for reliance on the cross. They're listening for reliance on the work of the Spirit and grace and so on. And on hearing Christian and hopeful's answers and discerning, Bunyan writes, the work of grace being in them, the shepherds were very pleased. And looking at them with brotherly love, they welcomed them. So it's kind of important pleasantries, important stuff done. And the names of the shepherds were knowledgeable, experienced, watchful, and sincere. And Bunyan just uses these kind of names to combine them to describe the pastor, elder, under shepherds of the church. So knowledge of the truth, of course. It's the bedrock, isn't it? Church leadership is not about passion. It is. But it's not the bedrock. It is the truth which leads to godliness. We read time and again in Titus, isn't it? Experience is the other shepherd, because the pastor must not be all head knowledge and no experience. Watchful, because the pastor is one who watches over his soul and the souls of others. He doesn't know things, experience things for his own sake simply, but for others, that the shepherd might care, protect, bring correction, instruction for the sheep. And sincere is the last shepherd, so that the pastor needs to be not double-minded, we get that in James, don't we? But a man of integrity. Simple terms, that is the same on the outside as, same on the inside as you get on the outside. I think either way works. Not a fake, basically. Christian and hopeful stay in the Delectable Mountains, wouldn't you? And they enjoy and they rest and they love it. The shepherds take them around and they show them some things. So here they are in church learning some very important things. And we come to four hills. First, they led them to a hill called the Hill of Error. Top pictures. What the bottom picture is meant to be looking down, the top, you get the idea, is a very steep hill. So there's a very steep section. And they say, be very careful, but look. Look down there. Christian and hopeful looked down there and saw the bodies of men dashed to pieces on the from the fall from this hill. What's this? Asks Christian. These are those who went astray through the teaching of Hymenaeus and Philetus. This is a reference to 2 Timothy 2. Those who've wandered after false teaching, and they lie, the shepherds say, unburied as a warning to those who come too high or too far up this hill. So the shepherds are warning, and they're saying here that if you get on the path of error, so this is the hill of error, false teaching, wrong doctrine, if you get on this hill and you come too far up, you cross a certain point, you then fall into serious error, cataclysmic error. To John, verse 9, anyone who runs ahead, that sounds good, running ahead, or be a Christian that runs ahead, that happens in Pilgrim's Progress, doesn't it, at one point? This is not in a good sense, in 2 John. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. So we fight to live humbly under the Word, don't we? We want to be humble. We want to be under the Word, whether we're reading it at home, whether we're in a small group, whether we're in church. Not over it, standing in judgment of the Word, under, in great humility. We know this, many of you do. If you hear a teacher in the church say something, I've got something new to teach you. Listen to this. This is brand new. Be very cautious. There's a load of false teachers looking for those itching ears, aren't there? Because they're self-serving. And so be very discerning, believers, about what's being taught. Because if there's error, the hill of error, it dashes the believer's faith to pieces and is terrible. So we fight to be humble. We need to be discerning so we can spot the false. If you move on from this church, or you're just visiting, make sure you join a church where first and foremost you have teaching that is faithful to the Word. Because if that goes wrong, things go badly wrong. Be in a church where the pastor works hard to teach faithfully and to keep the sheep from error and ultimately ruin. So that's the first hill, the hill of error. Next, the shepherds take them on top of a mountain called Mount Caution. And as they look, so the bottom picture, there they are, right up the hill, There's two different pictures there, if it helps. Great. And what they see then is men walking around among graves. And these men seem to be blind, for sometimes they stumble over the tombs and they cannot find their way out of this graveyard. "What's this?" again asked Christian. "Well," said the shepherd, "did you see the stile by the meadow a little way back?" Yes, we did," they say, feelings rising inside. They know this very well. "Well," said the shepherds, "that stile leads to Doubting Castle, owned by Giant Despair. These men went over the stile. They were captured by Giant Despair. They were left blind by him and left there, that Proverbs 21:16 might be fulfilled." And that verse reads, "Whoever strays from the path of prudence comes to rest in the company of the dead." Whoever strays comes to rest in the company of the dead. And Bunyan again is just setting up a strange picture, but with a strong lesson. That spiritually, those who leave the way, who leave the way, leave life. That's actually what they're doing. You leave the path of Christ, you're leaving the way of life. And that is really, really sad and tragic. And Christian and Hopeful are listening and they're looking and they look at each other. And they look at each other with knowing expressions because it could have been them. Bunyan says tears came to their eyes as they remembered their own experience and God's mercy, because they had crossed that stile. The same as these men in the tombs who are now lost. How close we came to falling from the way, but for the grace of God. And perhaps you, me, can think this evening and look back in seasons or moments in our life where you left the path, or you were never on the path. And you can probably think, well, how did I not fall back so badly then? How did I not fall beyond recovery? Or maybe you can think of others as well who you've known. Maybe you still know them. Who were on the path, it seemed, and left the path. And make that phrase, kind of, "there for the grace of God go I," kind of really come to life for us. Because it is by grace each of us are saved. It's not because we were great in getting back on the path or anything like that. It's grace, isn't it? They looked at each other, tears in their eyes, but they said nothing to the shepherds. The shepherds then took them to another hill. This one had a door in the side. And opening the door, they told Christian Hopeful to look in. And as they did, they fell back. They fell back in horror, because it was terrible. Darkness, smoke, the noise of fire, the smell of sulphur, and cries of pain. "What does this mean?" they asked. "This," said the shepherds, "is a side road to hell. This is the way some have taken, and still more will take. People like Esau, who sold his birthright, and like Judas, who sold the Saviour for 30 pieces of silver." "But," said Hopeful, "didn't these people have the mark of a pilgrim as we have?" "Yes," say the shepherds, "and they held to the way for a long time, even this far before falling." And Christian and Hopeful ourselves are seeing that even in the Delectable Mountains, even after years of profession of following Christ, there is, and this is scary stuff, there's a shortcut to hell for those who look like Christians, who believe they were followers, and others thought they were, but actually they weren't. Again, we may know, and it's true, there are many who start in faithfulness and it seems to be true, it seems to be a good start, but if their faith is the kind of faith of many we read in John's Gospel who followed Christ but then turned back, then it's not saving faith. The seed can take in into the soil for a time, can't it? The parable tells us. And it can be so encouraging as a small plant begins to flourish. Again, you may know someone, they came to church. I think they gave their life to Christ. It's like growing. They seem to be understanding, but like the rocky soil or the weeds that choke, so are those who begin well and may go on well for a time, but do not last. And the warning brings to mind verses about examining ourselves. And if you're a true believer, you will want to examine yourself. We should want that because we know how fallible we are. Actually, no, I am weak. It's humility needed, isn't it? Say, yes, Lord, search me with David. Because I know exactly what I'm like. So the true believer will not fear the question, are you a Christian? They'll say, yeah, thank you, I need to hear that. That was Bunyan's, one of his struggles and assurance. But he can struggle with it, so can you and I. These are important things. That we are not people who look and sound like Christians, but in the end are not. The pilgrims, Christian hopefuls say, we must cry, so theirs is the right response, we must cry to the strong one for strength. And the shepherds, it's not that encouraging, but they say, yeah, then you're going to need it, say the shepherds, for what's to come. And it's the right response from them. No believer can say, I've made it. Now I can relax. We are coming, aren't we, to the enchanted grounds. Look forward to that one. This is end of life, retirement, believer stuff. Oh, just go to sleep. It's to come after the summer. Make sure you make that a date. But this is true now. In this section it comes as well. We can never as believers say, I can relax. Each one of us must be watchful over our soul. For there is an enemy who prowls around and out to devour our faith, whatever stage of the walk we're in. This is the shock in the Delectable Mountains, isn't it? We need grace to persevere. Christian and hopeful, as you can understand, were keen to move on from this mountain. And they do, and they walk together with the shepherds to the end of the mountains to one, this is a good finish, so if you've been troubled, be delighted, called Clear View. Mount Clear View. And the shepherds said, if the pilgrims have the skill, they said to each other, to look through our telescope, let's show them the gates of the celestial city. And they gave them this telescope to look through. But Bunyan writes, again, he's just loading it in here, just stacking them up, that they were still a bit shaky from the side door in the hill, that they couldn't really see very clearly. So there's a picture here, and we're going to come to this with the river, of assurance issues. But Bunyan writes, though shaky, they saw enough through the glass to glimpse the golden gates of glory. The telescope is the word by which we see the hope of glory. Even from the church. In church, guided by shepherds, instructed by the chief shepherd through the word, the flock of Christ get glimpses of heaven, the hope to come. That's the church. The place where we see the gates of heaven. Sundays when we gather, Tuesdays, other times, glimpses of heaven together. Through praise, through prayer, through the people of Christ as well, for our encouragement of one another, our chats in a moment over tea and coffee, and through the word preached. We get moments, and I'm sure believers, you know this, maybe you're having it now, when actually the fog clears and we see clearly, yes, I'm saved. Yes, and our hearts lift, don't they? Our tread is that bit steadier. and strengthened and hope for glory and the city promised to come, that bit more real and hopeful in us. So Bunyan finishes with Christian and Hopeful going on singing. They were singing. But just before they left the Delectable Mountains, one of the shepherds gave them a note about the way. It read, "Beware the flatterer. Be careful not to fall asleep in the enchanted grounds. And Godspeed." So next time in Pilgrim's Progress, highwaymen. Christian and Hopeful get caught in a net. And next time, Christian and Hopeful get laughed at.